Mainly, I came to tell you I love you. That's the mainest thing that I have to say to you. I love you. And you don't have to change for me to love you. You don't have to get any gooder or any badder or any smarter or anything else. I love you because I know who you are, whether you do or not. And so I love you. I'm totally and completely lost in the last few years in converting intellectual knowledge into conscious awareness. Practically everything that I know now that is pertinent to my well-being, I knew 50, 60 years ago. And just about everything I believe now that's pertinent to my well-being, I believed 50 or 60 years ago. Intellectually. And I've been converting it into conscious awareness. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. For instance, the little phrase, in him we live and move and have our being. I've known that ever since I can remember. And almost all the time, I thought it meant just us. We human beings. It didn't occur to me that, well, it did once in a while. I got an inkling once in a while. That it meant all life. In him, everything lives and moves and has its being. Not just us, but our life. Because there's only one life. There's one life with many faces, one mind common to all men. And that takes in everything that is. You know, the English translation, the word, the Hebrew word for God is that which is. That which is, and it means everything that is. And I was sort of bound up for a long time thinking it just meant us. But it don't. For instance, I've been swimming with a salmon from the headwaters of the Klamath River to Japan and back, trying to find out who is its travel agent. You know something? I get lost in the airport. And that salmon goes from the headwaters of the Klamath to Japanese waters and back to the headwaters of the Klamath to spawn and to die. And that's something like 9,000 miles of water, one way. And you say, how does it do it? We had a little phenomenon down our way, San Juan Capistrano. We have a bunch of swallows that show up down there on St. Joseph's Day. Every year of the world, almost on the minute, you know. And they winter in Venezuela. And I've been trying to find out who is their travel agent. You know, it's a long ways to Venezuela. But they do that. I have some birds down my way that I feed. I have some blue jays. And I feed them, and I feed the hummingbirds. And they're liable to be sitting in the same tree. And the hummingbird will take off and stop in the air. Just stop up there and sit there. And he's liable to start out forward or backward or sideways. And I never have heard one of those blue jays say to the element, "Look, that monkey's flying backwards." "I can't fly backwards." And he gets out there and tries to fly backwards, and he falls. Breaks his leg. You know? I got a bougainvillea. I've had it 25 years. And it hasn't yet decided to be a rose. I wouldn't want to be a bougainvillea all that time. I'd want to be a rose, wouldn't you? That bougainvillea never wanted to be a rose. It's perfectly satisfied to be what it is, and it knows how. Now, that's the whole story this morning. It's perfectly satisfied to be what it is, and it knows how. And I'm convinced that as if and when you and I get simple enough to be ourselves, we'll find that we have everything necessary for our complete fulfillment. Because I do not believe that God's idea of a salmon including everything necessary for its complete fulfillment would leave us then without that same sort of thing. But you see, when we get up to our status, we get the idea that we have to improve on God's handiwork. We're not satisfied. We've got to improve on God's handiwork. And this entire society of ours, this entire civilization, pretty nearly ruined me because it said that I had to be this, have that, and be known as before I could live. They read to me right out of the Bible that you win your bread by the sweat of your brow, old boy. So get out there in the salt mine and get to work. You got to outthink, outperform, and outmaneuver everybody else in order to eke out a miserable living out of an unfriendly universe. That's what I was taught. And I worked on it very hard. The way I was brought up to believe. And amongst other things, I had to earn, be worthy of, and merit God's grace. You know? In my family, we were half of us Methodist Church South and half of us Hartsdale Baptist. Dan Witch ain't nothing witcher. So, we were born sinners. That's what they told us. We were born sinners. We didn't have to sin to go to hell. We had to get saved to keep from going to hell. You know? And that is a terrible thing to teach a kid, isn't it? Isn't that awful? I was 60 years old before I ever looked in the dictionary to see what the definition of the word grace was. I thought I knew. I thought I was born knowing. Never occurred to me that I didn't know what grace meant. But when I was 60 years old, I looked in the dictionary and it said a free gift. That was the first definition. A free gift. How are you going to earn or be worthy of or merit a free gift? You can't hardly do that. Because it's free. And that's the way it is with us. God's idea of his child, you and me, includes everything necessary for our complete fulfillment. There's a little place outside of Santa Cruz, a little area that's got a fence around it. And in that area, they have some very interesting things. They have a couple of trees that grew across each other like that, you know. And the wind would blow and they'd annoy each other. So they created, they built a natural graft between them to hold them apart about like that. And there it is, about that big. As much of it one tree as the other, you know. Now, who told them how to do that? You know, that's quite a thing. They don't know each other now. They don't, you know. Who told them? That's a tree I'm talking about. Not even a salmon now, you know. But there it is. 2 years ago, I was up there by myself looking at those things, and it was raining. And I stood there in the rain, crying my eyes out. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. There it was. And there's a big redwood in that dealy. 150 years ago, it burned out. The base of it burned out. And limbs grew out and down and into that burn. And you can stand right there and look at it. And I just stood there bawling and getting wet. And I got wetter than a... I got wet. And a lot of it was tears. Limbs don't go out and down. They go out and grow out and up. But those didn't. And that tree's still standing there. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that if God's idea of a salmon includes everything necessary for its complete fulfillment, if God's idea of a redwood tree includes everything necessary for its complete fulfillment, do you think his idea of us would include less? You know? How long in my life did I walk alone? How long? 43 years, as a matter of fact. I walked alone. Trying so hard to be and do the things I was taught that I must be and do. And I walked alone for 43 years. For the last 35 years, I haven't walked alone at all. I've never been alone. Often by myself, but never alone. Because some 35 years ago, I discovered that I had a God of my very own, and wherever I am, he is.